Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
David Henshaw, you've moved to Athlone, I believe. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, Katie.
You have a bone to pick with the people of Athlone.
Well, I have a bone to pick with the people in the whole of Ireland, really, but Athlone is upsetting me at this given moment.
We're talking about disabled parking spots and people without parking permits pulling up and parking in them.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I find that Athlone is now... I was born in Athlone and I moved out 60 years ago and I'm back home from last Wednesday. Now, I've had a house here for some time and I've been down back. But my problem is that the people who, after the traffic wardens go off duty, everybody just parks. I've seen people parking in disabled parking, and not only in Athlone. The very minute that they're going to have no fines or anything, they just park handiest, easiest way to get to the shop. Bung in there and that's it.
Tell us your own situation, David. You're not in a wheelchair, but you do have a disabled parking permit.
I have a disabled parking permit. I had a stroke some time ago, so my left side doesn't work very well, and had a few other minor problems like a heart attack and a bypass. And
just a few minor things like a heart attack and a bypass.
Yeah.
But
it's not stopping me.
It's not stopping you, and you still drive then.
I still drive, but my problem is that there's parking out, and I drive up to town. And in the evenings, I've tried to park in a parking spot in the centre of the town, next to the taxi rank. And I've found taxis it's a one-way system. I'm driving down, I have to hold anybody up and ask them to get out of the disabled parking spot. And
taxi drivers you're talking about?
This is, yeah.
So taxi drivers in Athlone are parking in the disabled parking
spots? Well, basically, in the evening, if there's a crowd and there's a lot of taxis there, it extends just... there's two parking spots for disabled and then there's a taxi rank. And if there's... I'm assuming that what happens if there's a lot of taxis there, they just pull up and park into the... Now, I found no problem. They moved... and they lost their place in the park, in the taxi rank. But I mean, you shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Have you ever gotten hassle from somebody if you challenged them in a disabled parking spot, Dave?
Not really, because for a start, when we were up in Athy, I moved from Athy in Kildare, and we got the town manager who agreed that from the Access Group, which is the disabled wheelchair Access Group, I was part of that. I was the PRO for the Kildare branch. And we we explained this to the town manager, and he says, yeah, he says, you take a photograph showing people in the and he would prosecute, well, not prosecute, he would send out a parking fine. And that soon stopped people. So there is no reason
Is there a GDPR issue with that, though, taking photographs of car regs and disseminating them in that way?
I mean, why should it be if somebody is breaking the law? And it is, I'll tell you now, Katie, one of my other cribs, is that I was in the bank one day, both of the, and I was actually having a lot of work done in my house, and I was drawing out a fair sized amount of money to pay the builder who wanted to pay his staff. And I parked in the unloading bay, and I got a ticket. Now, that never happened to me before, because usually you're parking in a slaughtering bay, it is accepted with a disabled park, seeing there was no other place to park. Yet I got a ticket, so it's, they're keen. And on the same day, there was somebody that didn't have, when I drove past it in the first place, the disabled parking spot, here there was somebody in the, that didn't have a ticket. And sitting in their car with their flashing lights on.
But go back to the idea of taking a photo of offending car regs, basically. That's what you're saying. Do you think they should do that in Athlone as well?
I think they should do it all over the country. I mean, here is it would soon stop the people from doing what they're doing. I mean, it is just sheer laziness of the handiness of the disabled to the front door of whatever, or why it's put there in the first place, for to make it easy to get into a hotel or something like that. And you know, it's amazingly enough, I was in a hotel once, and there was a meeting of the exit group in this hotel, and they had their van parked in a disabled parking spot, and I had to go in and tell them, now this is up in Kildare, I had to go in and tell them that there'd be a lot of disabled people arriving at this this meeting, and suggest that it wasn't a very good ad for the for their own van to be parked in
a disabled parking
exactly.
spot. Okay, stay with us, David, because I want to bring in William. William, you think there's a basic issue to begin with, that there isn't enough parking spaces for disabled people? Have I got William there?
Yes.
Yeah, William, your issue, you're saying that you don't think there's enough parking spaces for disabled people to begin with.
There most definitely isn't. You know, that is one of the biggest problems. I think it's 1 per 25 or something is the legal limit, but there's nowhere near, or they're away where you can't use them, up the side of a hill or somewhere, where nobody in a wheelchair could get back to their car if they use them.
Exactly, because if they're on an incline, you wouldn't be able to manage to get in and out of a...
Well, I'd say I have no problem going downhill, but I have big problems going up them.
Are you in a wheelchair yourself, William?
I am, yeah. Okay. I'm in a wheelchair from a lorry accident back in 2002.
All right. So you're very familiar with what facilities are or aren't available to people in your situation?
Do you mind me saying there is no facilities?
You can say anything you want. You're on the live line, William.
There is actually no facility, no real facilities. Trying to talk to engineers and architects and designers, they're too well educated to have common sense. They make footpaths, make everything so difficult to get us out and about enjoying life. I actually heard one day on your show back a few years ago, what can we do to get more people with disabilities out and about? Get the facilities right, because we are all going to get older, regardless of whether we're wheelchair users now or not. You know what I mean?
Indeed. Tell me, you had a situation yesterday, as something very specific happened.
I had one kind of a ridiculous situation where a gentleman at it'd be kind of a private parking area at a shopping place, and he pulled in between the two disabled parking spots and took up the actual two of them. So I just noticed that I could get my car in at one of them by staying on the white line, and it was on his driver's side, so I left him about 2 inches to get in, so he couldn't get in. And his excuse when he came out of the shop before I was able to get out of the car myself was, I have my wife and child with me, that's why I used it. So he kept going on, and I said, you're parked in a fairway, I have no problem in turning on those people physically. And I said, you're still parked in the fairway, and the fairway is no parking regardless of whether you're disabled or not. You do not block access. And he kept going on, I have a wife and a child. Well, I'm sorry, sir, if you're the only person or the first to ever have a wife and child, fair play to you. But you still can't park in the wrong place.
Now, did he have a disabled permit in the car?
No, he didn't, no. He just was using it as because he had his wife and kid with him in the back of the car. I still wouldn't accept, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm as entitled to be fined if I park illegally.
Absolutely. But, and then, but a lot of supermarkets will have special bigger parking spots for parents with small children with buggies and that. And then they will obviously also have to have disabled parking spots.
This was the situation where the wife and kids didn't get out of the car. He just ran in to get ice cream and a bit of meat. He could have walked 10 metres further. Or, in fact, he could have parked the other side of the disabled parking where he would have been outside the door.
Do you think, William, it's a thing that the drivers who are not disabled themselves or don't have somebody with a disability in their families or in their lives, that they don't actually think about the reason the disabled parking spot is where it is, and that, you know, what an impact it will make on a disabled driver not being able to get that spot?
That is the big problem. They don't realise exactly the situation of... It's not the convenience of being nearby something. It's the convenience of whether there's a spot where it can be wide enough to assemble a chair safely.
Yeah,
you understand?
I think maybe people don't actually take that on board. They just think, look, there is a free spot. There's no parking warden around. I'll be out in 5 minutes.
Yes. Plus it could be, I'll stick up Granny's badge and she'll not say it. It can't be that either.
Yeah, you think people who have maybe who have people with badges in the family?
I some weeks ago went to a traffic warden because there was a most beautiful Mercedes. I wouldn't mind owning myself a sports Mercedes in the disabled parking. 1-8 registration, and I said to the disabled lady, "Say, we renew our badges every couple of years, and that badge is older than that car. It's so faded. Ah, but he might need it." But the young fellow that came back to the car did not need it, but yet he got away with it. It's the attitude with traffic wardens in some cases as well. Don't give it 2 or 3 minutes till somebody comes back and find the fault and get it stopped.
But I suppose, to be fair, and I know there's been callers into this programme over the years who people thought they didn't have a disability, but actually they did need that pass,
yeah,
and that they didn't have a visible disability to you know.
I understand that too. Like, I have two friends who are amputees and they won't use disabled parking because they can step out of their car on the prosthetics and they don't need the width. It's understanding that the next space forward, you still have free parking.
Yeah.
Not necessarily using the one that where the wheelchair to be assembled.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so it's among ourselves as people with disabilities as well to understand each other.
And to understand the particular needs, particularly if you have a wheelchair.
If there's a situation where you could go to the next spot, or the spot either side, you know what I mean? You're still close by, but you're not taking the wide spot.
Indeed.
You know?
Stay with us, William. John, you've seen disabled spots being taken by people without badges many times.
Yeah, John Morgan, my name. I'm ringing from the log. Yeah, just to clarify a couple of things there. The gentleman that was saying 1 in 25, which is true, in America, they're really more into it. It's 1 in 10.
Would we need 1 in 10, do you think?
Yeah. For every 10 car parking spaces, one has to be a wheelchair accessible.
And you think that level of that quantity would be
required? Just more aware, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I say I'm using the chair since 2012, and I'm involved in a small group called Accessibility for All but basically the two quick stories I'll tell you. I don't drive because unfortunately I have epilepsy as well. But I have the blue badge, and my sister, she'd be my main carer, so she'd take me around. But otherwise I get the bus. But I got the bus into town one day and in Dundalk, got off at the bus station, and I was going through what we call Boyd's Three Shopping Mile into the car park. And I noticed this very fresh car in the... Now, I hate calling them a disabled parking bay. I call them an accessible parking bay. I hate that word, disabled.
Sure.
You know, but an accessible or a blue parking bay. And I did notice it, and I went away off about my business, had a cup of tea, came back about an hour and a half later, and literally, the car was still there. But literally at that moment, a lady came into the car park who had a blue badge, and she had to stop the car, we'd say, in the middle of, we'd say, the driveway where you're driving around the car park. And she went around and took this elderly lady and put her into a wheelchair, had her bring her over to the footpath and then get back into the car and drive around and try and get a normal car parking space, a normal size. So I was so annoyed about it, I actually wrote what I was after seeing, and I put my name, I had no shame at all, I put my name and number on the bottom of it. And like, I didn't mind if whoever owned it had a rang me that night and called me everything under the sun.
You left a note on the car that was in
actually,
the...
Yeah, I wrote exactly what I'd seen, that obviously there's no badge, and I explained what I'd seen, the woman coming in with a car with a blue badge. She had to stop the car in the middle of, we'd say, the roadway, if you want to call it that, where you would drive around looking for a space, and take out an elderly person, put them into the wheelchair, put them over on the footpath, and then find an ordinary car parking space.
Do you think it's just pure selfishness on PR?
I think it's both, right? I think lack of awareness and lack of thought. Now, being 100% true with you, I'm only in the chair since 2012. I probably never would have, thought, well, I would have, because I was always involved in the Wheelchair Association. I didn't ever think I'd end up in one, but I used to volunteer in hospitals. And just to say, what your other caller was saying, the actual measurements for a blue bay is 4.8 metres long and 2.4 metres wide. Okay, and that has to be painted blue. But you then have to allow another 1,200 mil. That allows for the wheelchair user to open the door. I wouldn't be able to because I've no power on one side, but a very good friend of mine, he's great upper body strength. He will open his door, lift out his wheelchair. Most of the wheelchairs now are very light and the wheels come apart, and he can put it together and slide into it. Mm-hmm. Which means, he's not stopping the flow of traffic.
Yes, of course,
and
yeah.
The idea is have 1,200 clearway at the back, which in my case is what's needed for me, because my sister will get out of the car, she'll go around to the back, open the boot, lift out the chair, assemble it and come around to the passenger seat and collect me. So, the first instance, that was the worst one I'd seen, but even there the other day, I seen a man, again, funny enough, it was like a private car park, but it's where there's a local radio station and a community office and stuff. But he got out of a van and he had a wheelchair badge, but he got out in working clothes, the kind of trousers you'd see electricians wearing and carpenters, with a whole lot of pouches. And I said, do you mind if I just say to you, that's a wheelchair bay? And he said, I have a badge. And I said, but, clearly you're able to walk. And so he said, do you want to see my... He said, no. First he said, I bet you £100 that badge is mine. And I said, well, listen, I'm not going to bet you any money. He said, clearly, you don't seem to have a disability. I presume that the car was issued to another family member or something. So like that, he wasn't too... I didn't want to get too, so I let him go. Well, I didn't let him go. I just said, well, that's okay. If you don't want me show... I said, if you're, if you have no problem showing... I said, if it is your badge, you shouldn't have any problem showing it. I was actually talking...
Did he show you the badge?
No. Told me to mind my own business, so I just said right. But myself and a girl called Councillor Maeve Yore, we do a lot of campaigning down here in County Louth for access. And we have a great chief superintendent here, a man called Christy Mangan. And the beauty about him is he's very passionate about it. And he's told all his Gardaí to have a zero tolerance. That if they see... someone physically able to get out of a car, to ask them to show the badge, and then they can know by the photograph of the badge, well, right. And he did tell us on a couple of occasions, the badge, in one case he said the badge was actually owned by a person who was deceased, and another family member using it. And but we had a meeting there recently with Chief Superintendent Mangan, and he was telling us that every year there's a day called Operation Enable, where the Gardaí and traffic wardens are encouraged to go out and kind of check every badge if possible.
And check if the photos on the badge match the driver's in the driver's seat.
Yeah, because technically...
But shouldn't every day be Operation Enable Day, in relation to
this? Well, actually, that's right, because we were actually given stickers that we could stick on cars saying, you're blocking my way or whatever. And I actually said it to the organisation in Dublin, the Disability Federation of Ireland, they organise it. I said, we should be putting these stickers on the cars every day.
But isn't it a lot to put on people, though? You know, because you don't know who you're going to meet, whoever's in that car in the disabled parking bay. Like, you know, if they became aggressive with you or you know, is that a lot to ask people just, coming along in a wheelchair or coming along asking that question?
Yeah, and just like what one of your other callers said, like, you know, the most common thing they'll say is, oh, I'm only going to be here for 2 minutes. And, like, as I say, you think back of what I told you about what I'd seen in that car park. Like, that's all it took was 1 minute for that lady to drive in and a parking bay to be used by someone who had not even a badge. You know, but the superintendent was telling us there recently, we had a meeting with him, and he was telling us since last year's Enable Day, which would have been October, they've issued 350 penalty notices.
350?
Now, that's just here in County Louth. And just to double check, then you see, I knew that the Gardaí had the authority to physically ask you, can I see the badge? The same way as they can ask you, can I see your driver's license? And obviously, they'd look at the photograph. And so I wasn't sure. So when I was talking to your researcher the other day, when you first had the discussion, I checked on the citizens' information page, and it does say that both Gardaí and traffic wardens have the entitlement to ask you to physically see the card. Like the photograph is on the badge. Now you are told to put the photograph of yourself facing down. So all that when someone looks in the window, all they see is a kind of a barcode. And disabled driver, you know, so that they can't actually, you know, see your picture. Is probably something to do with the new privacy laws or whatever, you know. But one thing I would say, and thanks be to God with the Chief Superintendent, it does need to be enforced more in a lot of towns. Now, unfortunately, some of the traffic wardens, I have to say, just they don't seem to be having the same detection rate. Now, it's not that I want to see everybody being caught. I don't. But it's just like...
Without enforcement, people are going to take advantage of it.
For a reason, like if they're outside the post office, it's to make it easier for that person in the post office to be able to get out of their chair, and other people who are entitled to use the badges are those with visually impairments.
Okay, stay with us. Alan, you, this is an issue that you have tried to take up with Minister Shane Ross.
I did, and the secretary rang me back to say, this I'm going back maybe a year and a half, and they said they were increasing the fine.
Sorry, what exactly did you want to say to the minister?
I'll give you the two examples in 2 seconds, but I'm telling you what they said to me was that they were increasing the fine to €150 for parking in a disabled spot without authorisation.
What's the fine now, do we know?
It's 150.
Yeah, it's up to €150.
Okay, so it used to be 80 and now it's gone up, doubled.
I think that's not even half enough, but that's not the point. Point is, I don't shop in a major supermarket because I watched a lady sitting, she drove in her wheelchair was on top of her car, and there was a machine to bring it down to the side of her car. A lady parked alongside her. She was trapped in her own car. She could not get the wheelchair down. When I went into the supermarket, I was told by the manager, F off and mind your own business. I don't shop in that supermarket chain ever since.
I'm not surprised. You went in on behalf of this woman who, as you say, you just happened to see trapped in her car And did you not challenge the woman who had parked beside her, no?
I couldn't find her. By the time I got to her, I don't know where she went. I was parking myself.
But you felt anyway that you had to do something. So you went in and found, was he a manager or who
the
was
the manager, it? Yes, the manager. I asked for the manager because you can't impose such on the staff.
Okay. So, and you said, and you explained what was happening out in the car park.
F off and mind your own business. I'm not driving the car. That's the answer I got. Now, if you're going to be a chain or a business park where you put the disabled signs down, you should have a responsibility to look after them properly. That's number one. Number two.
Well, you should have a responsibility to look after your customers properly on a most basic level.
Absolutely, indeed. In addition to that, then, I heard one of your callers talk about the taxi drivers. I live in Selbridge. I challenged the same taxi driver many times for parking in the disabled spots. He keeps doing it.
And what do they say to you? What's the response when you challenge them?
I stand and wait until he moves. And shame, name and shame, I do say.
You don't have a mobility issue yourself, Alan, do you?
None whatsoever.
But this is just something that really obviously...
No, my mother's in a wheelchair, but I would never impose such. I don't use the excuse. My point about it is that the disabled spot is there to assist the disabled people. They're very well marked out. They've got big blue, and they're painted blue. People should have more consideration for those less well off. That's all the point I'm trying to make.
Okay, Alan, and you made it very well there. Can I go to John, John O'Driscoll?
Hi, how are you, Gabe? How are you doing?
How are you, John? You've tried to report this issue as well.
I did, yeah. About a year and a half ago, I was in a certain certain shopping centre in a small cabin town, and I noticed that the car was pulled into two disabled spots. It was a big estate car, and it was covering both, so it was kind of slightly diagonal across two spots. So I just couldn't believe, you know. And about 10 minutes later, the driver came out, and young lady, I'm not a doctor, so I don't make assessments on people's health or otherwise, but I said to her, I said, you know, that's a disabled spot. I said, and you've no blue badge. And she said, oh, it's out of date. We're getting it renewed. And I said, that's a disgrace, you know. And I kind of thought to myself, well, imagine if you'd rocked up to immigration and said, well, my passport's out of date, but I'm getting it renewed, or, you know, you got stopped on the road. As you said, my driver's license is out of date. Neither would be an acceptable excuse, and nor should this be. So, you know, she kind of laughed, sneered, and drove away. And I was kind of outraged about it because I'd lost my late mother not too long ago, and she was a very frail person at the end of her life, and she had a blue badge. And when we were sort of in her last week after her stroke, and we were kind of running relays in the hospital at our bedside, you know, I did ring the people, the lovely people who run the disabled blue badge scheme, and I said, look, I said, you know, my mother's passing away. I said, will it be possible, because we're all running, we're kind of running 24/7 shift here, would it be possible if we use her disabled badge late at night, or if we couldn't get a parking space in the hospital, because inevitably it is jammed. And they said, no, that wouldn't be right. And I said straight away, I said, no problem. We only wanted to ask, you know, because occasionally when mum, who was, as I said, a frail of the bird, in the latter end, you know, you might take her out and you'd use the blue badge, because literally she couldn't walk the length of the car. So you'd use the blue badge with her as a passenger.
Because you'd need to get close to where you'd want to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It could be, you know, it could be the hospital, it could be whatever. And, you know, in that case, it was absolutely correct. But when she was dying in the hospital, we weren't allowed to use it. And, you know, and proper order, if that's the system, that's the system. So, you know, to see this lady at Christmas there, Christmas 12 months, blithely hopping out of the shopping centre and into her car, and a sneery way she had about her, and then, oh, it's out of date, we haven't renewed it. Off she went. So anyway, the jigs and the reels. I rang the cops. I took a picture of her car, and I rang the police, and they said to me, look, it's in a private property. It's in a shopping centre. We have no powers of enforcement. We've only got powers of enforcement on the public disabled bays, you know, the ones that would be out in the street or whatever.
Oh, I didn't realise that. So those supermarket car park disabled parking bays are not, there's no legal requirement there, really.
Exactly. That's my understanding of what the police told me. And I sent a picture of the car in its diagonal position. It's, you know, clearly, it's, you know, occluding to the disabled bay. I sent it to the Garda website and I said, is this the most selfish driver you've seen all week? And they came back and said, yeah, absolutely. They didn't do anything else with it. So I don't know whether it's fallen between a rock and a hard place, where your last caller basically said that supermarkets, or at least in that particular case, the one he spoke to, the manager he spoke to, was absolved himself of any responsibility. And if the police then have no responsibility in law, then the whole thing is a bit of a nonsense. And they, you know, it's just there for decoration, in my view.
And, yeah, well, you'd be worried now that we're giving people almost permission to think that they can park in those parking spots now, and there won't be any, they won't get done for it anyway, but from the Gardaí.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a doctor. I'm just a Joe Public, and that's what the guards told me. So I was a bit concerned actually coming onto your radio and saying it. It actually did occur to me after I spoke to your researcher yesterday, and I was kind of glad she didn't call me back. But nonetheless, you know, that seems to be the legal position. Maybe you can get clarity on it.
Yeah, if somebody out there does have clarity on that, we would like to be 100% sure on that. John, you wanted to you had an issue about the taxi drivers as well.
Me, you mean?
I actually think that the Irish Wheelchair Association run a one-day course for taxi drivers who have a wheelchair taxi. Now basically, it involves manual handling and how to secure a wheelchair into the taxi with the straps and that. But I had to go to Beaumont Hospital when it was actually it was the Friday before Christmas, year before last, and like that I was getting to half 7:10 train to Dublin, and I booked a taxi, and the taxi man came down and took me up, and I said to him, now this is a big firm, like they've over 70 cars now, between what's called owner drivers. Now apparently these drivers pay rent for a radio. I don't exactly know what way it works, but and then he has his own drivers, his own cars. But the wheelchair taxi left me up at the train station, and I said to him, well, listen, I don't know what train I'll be getting back, because you never know how long you've been in the hospital. As it transpired, I was getting to 20. He said to me, well, when you get to Connolly, ring. So I said, right. So when I got to Connolly, I texted him. I said, I'm getting to 3:20. I'll be home in Dundalk about 4:30. So when I came out of the station, I just assumed there'd be a car there, and there was no car. So I rang the office. I said, you know, John Morgan here, said I booked a car. And she said, oh, well, I've no drivers. And I said, but I booked it this morning. I said to the chap, and I was told. I said, I'm sorry. So, and I live about 4 miles away from the train station. Now, it's a power wheelchair I have. And I wasn't sure whether the battery would get me the whole way home or not. I was kind of said, well, sure.
Would you go 4 miles in a wheelchair?
Well, no, in a powered, you know, the battery ones, you know, but I didn't think I'd have enough power. They generally do about 2 to 3 miles, to be true with you.
Yeah.
Like, I live about 2 kilometres from town, and I can go up to town and back home, and that'll be it. But I started making my way down, and when I got to the big cathedral in the centre of Dundalk, I seen two of the taxis that were accessible, that, you know, did collect me another time. And all these ladies started getting out with their tan legs. It was party night. They weren't interested in me when I could get a full taxi with 5 people.
Right.
You know. But another thing, just to, like on that, and like your, one of your other callers, I was very disappointed. I wrote to Shane Ross, and all I got was the standard letter. You know, we send it off to proper authorities, and I wrote a letter down to...
what were you saying to Shane Ross in that letter?
Yeah, you know, he was Minister of Transport, and then I actually wrote to Finian McGrath, and literally the same kind of...
But what were you asking for, or what were you, what point?
Well, basically, it was about that issue, it was about taxis, but also about a problem that we have with the 100X bus to the airport. All the 100X buses have a wheelchair symbol. And I rang up one day, I was going to book a bus. I had given them 2 weeks' notice. Now, you only have to give them 48 hours' notice. I rang them 2 weeks, and I said I was hoping to get the 100X wheelchair-friendly one to Dublin for such and such a time to get me to the airport. It's a direct line from Dundalk to the airport. And within 10 minutes, they rang me back and they said, that's not an accessible route. And I said, but she has, I photographed here. I said, I don't know how many 100X buses I see and it has the wheelchair symbol. Now, this was November 17, and I ended up having to write 3 times to Bus Éireann. And that's how I ended up writing to both Shane Ross and Finian McGrath. So eventually, in January this year, like, I can send all the paperwork up to you, if you like. I got a letter from Bus Éireann, and on the letter it said, in accordance with government policy since 2008, all buses are wheelchair friendly. However, we haven't got the infrastructure in place. So in other words, it was a cart before a horse. They spent a fortune making buses accessible, but there's no platform to actually lift.
So the bus is accessible.
All the buses were made accessible since 2008.
But there has to be special platforms to come down off that bus.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, as people know all around the country, the ordinary town buses that you'd see, they all have ramps, there's no problem, and the drivers are great. But it's the big highline coaches. And what really annoyed me one time, there a couple of weeks ago, I happened to be looking at the RT television, and an advert came on for the expressway buses. And this is one of these buses, and it says, oh, fly with us to the airport. And I felt like saying, I wouldn't mind if I could only get on the bus.
Indeed.
But basically what they were saying was, the buses are all accessible, but they haven't got the infrastructure. In other words, they were saying that they need a platform in the bus station, 3 metres square.
And do we know how many bus stations have that platform?
There are only a handful. In actual fact, for me to get a bus to the airport, I'd have to go to Newry, which is in a different jurisdiction.
Wow.
And like you said, if I was to get a taxi to the airport, because it's a power chair, it doesn't fold up, so the family couldn't take me. And I wanted to pray that I could do this on my own. I was going to go over to Liverpool. I have an uncle who lives near now, just to pray that I could do it myself without anyone helping me. And because, like, when I came out of Dunleary, when I started using the wheelchair in 2012, in 2013, I hadn't been on a train, and I said, right, sure, I'll give this a go. And I looked to the local train station. I said to the boys, what do I do here now? And he said, just go down the ramp or the lift. And he said, go three carriages up and I'll have a man there with a ramp. And I said, great, thanks very much. And I went down, and right enough, there was a man there with a ramp. And I said, do you mind if I ask you what I do when I get to Conley? Oh, no, he said, John, I'll ring ahead. And like that, when I pulled into Conley, there was a man there with a ramp. And I said, oh, this is great, so I'll try the Lewis now. And the Lewis is purpose-built. Like, he can just roll straight on the platforms at the right height. But so that's all I'm saying. Like, you know,
so Irish Rail have their act together and the Lewis has their act together. But as you say, there's a serious issue there with the
Yeah, like I say, what annoyed me was the fact that they were after spending probably millions making the buses accessible. And yet there's no infrastructure in place at the bus stations. Now, there is a number of bus stations around the country, but actually there's actually none onto Dundalk to Dublin. And the 100X would actually start off in Dundalk. That's its starting point.
And it has, a, and as you say, it has a symbol that it is wheelchair accessible,
yeah,
and technically it is.
The big Highland coaches, and all of the wheelchair symbol now, but there's very few places. I actually went into Bus Aris one day to see if I could get it from there, and they said no.
God, okay.
Just out of curiosity.
John, I'm going to have to take a break.
Sorry,
I'm going to have to take a break at 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Mary McKeown, you have an issue and a bone to pick with the planners.
Yes, well, first I'd like to thank you for highlighting this issue. And I wanted to pick up on something that a previous caller mentioned about disabled spaces being on a back road or up a hill. My issue with the planners is the fact that the poles are very often put exactly where a disabled driver is going to try to get out of the car. For example, on the main street in Blackrock, in Dublin, the only disabled space on the entire main street is situated beside an ornamental lamppost. So if you're a disabled driver, you either park and try to squeeze out around the lamppost, which is well nigh impossible if you have a walker or if you're trying to assemble a wheelchair, or you park and get out into the traffic. It's the very same on the seafront at Dunleary. There are some disabled spaces there. It's a one-way system. You can only face in the direction. That means that as a disabled driver, you're getting out into the traffic. So we've highlighted this in the South Dublin branch of MS Ireland. I'm involved with the South Dublin branch. We've highlighted it a few times. Our concern was taken on board at Dunleary, or in Dunleary, right down at the Dean's Grange Library, where we pointed out that the poles were forcing drivers to get out into the roadway. But it's actually very dangerous.
I was going to say, that sounds a very, very dangerous scenario.
Yeah, and the other thing, of course, I would plead with cyclists not to put their bikes onto the poles that support the disabled driving sign. Because, you know, the wheelchair sign that's on the pole at a disabled space, regularly you will find that a cyclist has parked their bike on the pole. There's one at Exchequer Street near the Central Hotel.
I know it, yes, there's always bikes there, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to get out. Well, there again, the pole is in your way, first of all, unless you park facing the other way and then get out into traffic. And then there's a bike and you can't get out of your space. The space might as well not be there for many people. Now, I'm one of the lucky people. I can actually walk and I'm regularly challenged as to why I'm using a disabled space.
You, as you say there, you're with the MS Society, so you're suffering from MS yourself, are you?
I am. And I'm the chair of the South Dublin branch, and we would have a very large group of people in South Dublin with MS. Some who are like me, who don't look disabled. Some who use walkers. Some who use wheelchairs. And this is a common experience that we'd all have, that the spaces are blocked with the poles, or that you're faced with getting out into traffic.
And you said you raised this. You got some response in Dunleary. But what are they saying? What do they say to you when you say, look, that's just impossible? Say the Blackrock scenario there.
The Blackrock one has not been addressed. And I've had councillors raise it. Indeed, with the local councillor coming around at the last election, they're going to raise it again. They certainly took it on board at the Dean's Grange Library. But the seafront hasn't been addressed. Well, I'm not sure what they can do at the seafront, simply because the road is a one-way system.
Yeah.
But unless they provided more spaces up to the side. And the other place where there are spaces there is down at the lifeboat, down beside the RNLI, but they're on a hill and they're quite difficult for people to manoeuvre.
Yeah, I mean, so, there are a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration if you're thinking about somebody trying to, as you say, get out of a car and assemble, maybe you have to assemble a wheelchair from the driver's seat of a car.
Yes, exactly. So it needs space, and it definitely needs the pole to be put to one side rather than the other.
And it definitely needs cyclists not to lock their bikes at those poles. So that's your call. And we say, I'm sure it's just cyclists not thinking of, you know, the reality of what that space must be used for.
A lot of the things that have been raised today are people not thinking and not considering what it's like to try to manoeuvre. Now, somebody else called in earlier and mentioned about the policy is to get people out and about, and being able to be mobile and drive your car is the way to get people out and about and participate in society. And these things really are just thoughtlessness, I think, and a lack of consideration. But the shocking one is when the planners don't take it into account, because that's what their role and their career is all about, is planning and thinking things out. So it's bad enough when you have the general public locking their bikes and not thinking about it, but to put the pole there in the wrong place in the first instance.
Indeed.
You'd have to wonder. Yeah. A very quick point on the car parking. You pointed at the shops, say they have no role and it's a courtesy car park, and the police then say, well, we don't have any jurisdiction. It strikes me as a huge irony that if you're doing a charity collection in a shopping centre, you have to get a guard permit, because for the purposes of collecting for charity, it's deemed a public space. So there's an inconsistency in the law there, and they need to amend the law.
Is that the law as you understand it, that there isn't those are private as such, or belong to those?
I've been told that the car parking spaces, the police have no jurisdiction over them, and then the shopping centre management would say no, they can't enforce them. They're a courtesy, and that's something that we've raised as a branch all around South County Dublin. But the irony of it is, if we want to do a collection for charity, we have to, in the shopping centre, we have to get a Garda permit, because it's an open space and the Garda have remit over that. So I think the remit over parking spaces should be extended to the Garda.
Okay, Mary, I want to bring in Neil. Neil, you're down in Killarney.
I'm down in Killarney. How are you doing, Katie?
We're doing very well.
That's good. You just caught me on the hop there now, because I was waiting for a little while, but just pick up on what the topic is all about today.
Indeed.
In relation to the parking. Yeah, I ran in the local council elections here in the Killarney area, and I wasn't successful on this occasion. But I found during my canvass that I was meeting an awful lot of people that were actually less abled, okay? They weren't disabled, they were less abled. And it was actually obstructing them from even coming into our town, because they couldn't be guaranteed parking. Because just take Killarney. Killarney is a very, very busy town. And we'll just taking all the personnel, for instance, that would be just getting on in years and find ourselves, of course, able to drive, but not able to walk long distances. It was actually taking away, I would say, from their independence and even their dignity by not being able to come into our town. So I put a proposal together that we should go with designated areas in maybe even all towns, we'll say, for less abled parking, and prioritise it. And do this, we'll say, outside a post office, outside a GP. And even when you drive into a car park, immediately when you drive under the barrier, I believe there should be a designated area right there for the convenience of people that are less abled, for the convenience when they just drive under the barrier, they can park there and they don't have to be driving and walking down to the end of a car park to get all the way back up again.
I have to say though, Neil, given what we've heard today now, and the ways that the actual disabled parking bays and the rules and the laws about that are being flouted, I could only imagine the scenario that this might throw up.
I didn't get around to actually the point of how we would police this. But to be fair to people now, and to be, you know, and to give them their dues, because I've even observed we'll take a mother and baby space, and that is very tempting to park there. Do you know what I mean? And in all fairness, I very seldom have ever seen anybody using a mother and baby other than, we'll say, a mother and baby, or even a father and baby. Do you know what I mean? So I think people are, they're good enough. But I believe if this less able parking was put in place, It would tempt people more to use it that are less able, do you know what I mean, than maybe to use the disabled parking. Do you know what I mean? So, like,
what you're saying is that you think maybe some of the people who maybe don't have a disabled badge are parking in the disabled spots because actually they have mobility issues. Yeah,
I would. Yes, and I've often even observed that myself, and I know people myself personally that wouldn't qualify for disabled, but I can tell you that they couldn't walk. We'll say they couldn't walk for 2 minutes at the same time, but yet they couldn't qualify for the disabled badge. You have a lot of people as well, out of their dignity, they just don't want. They don't feel that, you know, that they're worthy of getting it because they don't think they are disabled. Do you understand me? And they wouldn't actually apply for one.
Okay. Okay. Stay with us, Neil, because Declan, are you with us there, Declan?
I am. Yes.
Yeah. You have a thought about people who are semi-ambient.
That's right. My daughter Michelle is a full-time wheelchair user here at Sligo, and she's on the access committee in Sligo. And she put forward a proposal that there should be two badges. The blue badge for the full-time wheelchair user and a separate coloured badge for people who are semi-ambulant who have difficulty in walking long distances. Because at the moment, these people who are restricted in mobility are parking in the wheelchair space, which they really don't need because they're able to get in and out of their car in a normal space. And they don't really need a wheelchair space, but they do need a place that's quite close to the shops or the facilities that they're going to. So quite regularly when my wife and myself bring my daughter into Sligo, we find it impossible to get a wheelchair space to park the car, which means we have to park just in the aisle and then take her out, and then I have to drive around and my wife has to drive around and look for a wheelchair spot to park the car, or an orderly spot to park the car.
Right, so you're sort of giving people the benefit of the doubt there. You're saying that a lot of people who are using these wheelchair bays are these disabled parking bays.
Well, they may actually have
some issues, and that might be one of the reasons that they've decided to use these spots, but that they don't actually have the full badge.
Well, quite a lot of people that I observe in Sligo have the full wheelchair badge, and they're quite entitled to park in a wheelchair spot, but they're able to get out of the car and walk to the shop or go to wherever they want to go. But they wouldn't be able to walk, for example, maybe a long distance. They're probably restricted in some way or another.
Oh, I see.
They're entitled to the badge because of their restricted mobility. But they're not full-time wheelchair users. They don't have a wheelchair in the boot, or they don't have a wheelchair on the roof of the car or whatever. But they're able to, or they're restricted in their mobility. So they go to the doctor, they look for the badge, they apply for it to get it, and they're entitled to it. But my daughter, in this access committee, she recommended that because of her experiences and her frustration, and indeed listening to all your callers there today, you can see the frustration that's coming through.
Absolutely.
With all the different people that have issues with this. She recommended that that they have two coloured badges, one for the person who is a full-time wheelchair user. And in fact, if you're talking to as I have spoken to a couple of the engineers in the local council in Sligo, they said that would be a great benefit to them because they are actually taking up more spaces. The wheelchair space takes up more space than the standard car park space. So it would mean that you could actually provide probably the people that are in wheelchairs would have more spaces available to them if you had four or five or six spaces beside it where people who are restricted with mobility could park their cars.
Oh, okay, so what you'd have is sort of a priority system.
And you don't
require the bigger spaces for the people who are actually full time.
Yes, if you go back to the beginning when the wheelchair when the badges were issued first, they were only issued to people really who were in a wheelchair. You know, and it's only in the last maybe 10 years that they've been given out to people who are with restricted mobility. And that the last caller there from Kerry there said about people who said people didn't want to get one or wouldn't apply for one because they felt they didn't need one. But there's a lot of people out here who do need them and probably should get them, but are just...
Don't need the big disabled parking.
They don't apply for them. But if there was a two-tier system, and I'm just hoping that maybe somebody in the Department of Transport is listening to this programme and can see and sense this frustration that's coming through, that, again, listening to other callers there, it seems to be impossible to get anything done. We all talk about it. We've been talking about this. My daughter's in a wheelchair now for the last, I suppose, 30 years. And we've been talking about it for 30 years. And we're still, it's getting worse instead of better.
Indeed. Stay there. Stay there with us. We're going to have to take a break. 51551.
coffee.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Gráinne, you were given a permit because of an accident you had some years ago.
No, I think you've been given the wrong information there.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gráinne. You don't have a permit yourself?
So I have. I do not. I'm actually in work, and a friend of mine just texted me to say there was a discussion on the radio, so I haven't actually about disabled parking, but I have a huge issue about it.
What is your issue?
So in 1984... I had my right arm amputated through an accident, right? And I'll just go back. So I have files in my attic, letters to TDs, letters to ministers to try and get, it's called the primary medical certificate. So I don't, and on that criteria, there are seven criterias, and somebody with one arm does not come under that criteria. My GP has written, I've had letters from, it was devised by somebody in the Department of Finance in conjunction with transport, I believe, some years ago in the 50s. Now, I have a big issue with it because I have a family of four, or six or four children, so when I go to shop, I can't park in a disabled spot. I recently spoke to some ladies who had their legs amputated. In the rehab in Dunleary about losing and being an amputee. And these particular ladies were absolutely horrified to think that I did not have a disabled parking permit. And the it's a farce as far as I'm concerned.
And is it specifically... I agree with that man. Yeah. I just wonder, what are the rules, Gráinne? What are the criteria?
So I don't have it in front of me right now, as I say. It's called a primary medical certificate, that's one. And then anybody with this, because I'm somebody with one arm, I just do not come under that. It's somebody, but I agree with that man earlier, what he just said, that it's people are getting their parking permit. And, you know, I find it frustrating. And I know people are sick or whatever, but I do find it frustrating when I pull up outside a shopping centre and I cannot park in the disabled parking to do my shopping. I find it very, very frustrating and annoying. And my GP has written letters. My consultant, like as late as last year, I had an operation on my hand, my second hand, my good hand. And my friend applied for me. And even at that, I had no hand for 3 months. And I still was not granted the disabled parking permit.
And so you obviously drive. Do you have to have your car adapted to...
I drive an automatic car. I have an adaptation of my car. The automatic cars are much more expensive. The gentleman I buy my car from, he has tried to fight my case as well over the years, Porrick Mooney in the Long Mile Road, and it's very frustrating.
I can imagine.
My insurance is higher, and obviously, you know, to buy an automatic car is higher, and I'm not entitled to anything extra because I have a disability, one arm.
That is,
and there's other people like me in the country, by the way. I'm not the only one. And I started last year a campaign again, but I get tired then, you know. I get tired then fighting.
And your kids, are they, what age group are we talking about?
Well, they're older now. But when they were smaller, it was more difficult. But my kids come and help me with the shopping. My husband helps me with the shopping. But that's not the point. The point is I need to be, if I'm an independent woman, so I need to be able to go and do and park where I need to park, you know, and i.e. outside a supermarket.
Because just to explain to people, like if you're going to supermarket, are you coming out with all your shopping?
Well, you're talking, my four kids now are 19, 20, 21 and 24. So you're talking about six adults in a house. So it's a big shop. Yes.
And you have to get that shop back to your car.
And I cannot. And I sometimes would drive around waiting for a space to become available. And I have been clamped, parked in a disabled park beforehand. Yes, I have been clamped.
That is, I must say, it's extraordinary that is the criteria there, that you clearly have a disability, but
a very visual disability,
and that does not qualify.
No, but it's somebody I've written to so many people, and then actually one of the ladies I met in the rehab, who unfortunately had her leg amputated last year. was so horrified. She's actually taken my case on because she said she's at home and like, I'm a full-time working mum of four. So she says, I'm going to write letters to this person and that person. And that was as late as in the last month, you know, because these ladies who have disabled parking, because unfortunately they are confined to wheelchairs or whatever, you know, but they could not believe because, again, they could see me that I only have one arm.
Okay, Gráinne, let us know if anything comes from all that letter writing and your campaigning on that, because that is an issue I'm sure other people, as you say, are dealing with around the country as well.
Well, it's 36 years of letter writing and getting nowhere so far, because the criteria needs to change. Legislation needs to change, and somebody with one arm needs, people with one arm need to be included in that primary medical certificate and be able to get a disabled parking badge.
Okay.
It's vital that that's changed.
Okay, thanks for that, Gráinne. We'll have to take one more break. 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Maria, you think people who misuse their disabled parking badge should have them taken off them?
Well, hi, Katie. I'm Maria Keelty. I'm part of the PPN network and I was voted in as the disability rep, which is in Longford. And what the problem is that there's people who do not know the criteria in relation to disabled badges. The person has to be with you in the car.
You can't use Mammy's badge to go down to the shops, basically.
No. And what can happen is, if a traffic warden catches you doing it, or the guards, they can confiscate it, and it can be sent back to the IWA or the DAA. Now, Sergeant Peter Woods ran this thing called Operation Neighbour, and it's now gone countrywide. We launched it in Longford through the PPN plenary last December, and under the traffic unit here in Longford, Blohid Moran, who's the sergeant in charge of traffic, we have had huge success, and the local county council have now painted all the disabled places blue, all the spaces blue, so there is no doubt that is a disabled parking space. And if you get caught, the badge will be taken off you, but not alone if you get caught, you will also have the badge, the fine of £150. Right. So, like, there are people using it, Katie, and there are people that think, oh, yeah, well, I'm only going to duck around there while Mammy or Granny or Auntie or whoever is in the doctor's surgery or wherever. No, the person has to be with you.
The person has to be with you. Okay, stay with us. Alwyn.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Your nine-year-old Harry is in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy.
He is, and the reason I rang in is because if I need to go to a shop or a petrol station to run in and get milk or bread, I need a spot, you know, outside the door where there's a window where I can see him. He's pretty vulnerable. He has reflux, he has various issues. I don't want to leave him for longer than a few minutes. So if I go into a petrol station or a shop and the space is taken up by somebody who hasn't got a badge, I either have to wait and get really upset and riled up because I have to confront them when they come out, or I have to drive off to another shop. And the amount of arguments that I have got into with people, it's awful. It ruins
and
my day.
Do people argue back? Like, are people not just mortified to be caught?
Most people are really, really embarrassed. But some people, you know, they argue back. You know, I'll only be a minute. I'm running in for water. People do it with their kids, which is really surprising, because what kind of a lesson are they, you know, conveying to their kids if they're going to do stuff like that? And then arguing with me in front of their kids. It's unbelievable. There's certain shops that I won't go to because I know the wheelchair spots will be gone and I'll get in an argument with people because they're not badge holders. I just really think there should be an ad on TV or radio, more awareness put out there. They do it for cyclists, they do it for various things. And, you know, disabled people are vulnerable. I feel vulnerable with Harry. And then for people to challenge me or...
And you've enough stress in your life, basically,
without
this being brought into it.
Oh, I just feel so strongly about it. And when I heard you talking about it on the radio, I really wanted to just convey, it's not easy. You know, I just need to run in, grab cereal, milk, bread, and to have to drive off or confront somebody, it's really sad. And I think people, most people are embarrassed, but I just think the awareness needs to be there. An ad on TV or radio conveying my situation or other people's situations.
Well, I hope we've opened a few eyes with that today. Thank you for calling in with that, Alwyn. We're going to have to leave it there. Our BCO today was Laura Lee Davis. Sheila Ní Wheel was on sound. Research was by Lydia Murphy and Rachel Breslin. Angus McNally produced. And Ray Darcy is next.